hence, how long have you been at your current job?
It will be 4 years in January.
Okay.
You?
I am, well, soon, in 6 months, reaching 2 years. So 1.5. Mm. 1.5 years at this company. But, okay, you say 4 years.
Yeah.
Has that been different roles?
It's been pretty much, well, not this, it's been the same role, but I've gotten added tasks that are, that differ a lot.
So basically the job description of that role has changed.
Yes.
But maybe not like the title.
Exactly.
Okay.
The title as well.
Yeah. But then I see it as like kind of different. There's been alterations, certain upgrades, right?
For sure.
Okay. Mine is, well, the same, like in a year and a half, not much can change. Or actually I have had, well, one additional thing, like more as an advisory add-on. But yeah, anyways, otherwise I see it pretty much the same.
But your job is also unique in the fact that you work like case to case.
Exactly.
Because you're a consultant.
It's consulting.
So, yeah.
So
it feels like you're starting a new job all the time.
But in my case, I've been with the same client for a year and a half, but my colleagues haven't. They've changed every 6 months. So
the typical consultant would like, you could say that you start a new job every 6 months.
True-ish. But so this basically brings me to what I want to talk about today, or what we both want to talk about, and that is, how long should you stay in one company, or how long should you remain in a role before, you know, you need to move on? Is there kind of a fine print for that, or a blueprint? Not a fine print. What am I saying?
Maybe a fine print as well. Who knows? This is something that I think about a lot when reflecting over my own career so far, when reflecting over my friends' careers, when reflecting over if I'm in a recruitment process and recruiting someone to my team, when I'm looking at CVs around the block, you know, all the applications. And what really got my little brain working was that the other day at my workplace, we had a celebration. We do celebrations in the kitchen when something nice happens. Mm-hmm. And two of our colleagues celebrated 25 years at our company.
That's like a lifetime.
A lifetime. And they, granted, they haven't been in the same position, so they've moved around, but they've been with the company for 25 years. And I know in only the time that I've been there, there's been so many changes. And, you know, we've been through so much and change of ownership and, you know, reorganizations and all these things. So I could just imagine, like, what they've been through in the 25 years that they've been there. And I found myself, like, equal amounts impressed. Like, wow, what a journey you've made. And equal amounts of feeling like I could never. Like, it's unfathomable to me that I would ever stay at a place for 25 years. And then I started thinking, like, is it a generational shift, or is it like personality types, or why is this? And then we started talking about it and we were like, let's save the juice and record this on the podcast instead. But I'm just like, I started thinking about how I've looked at it when I've recruited people, and how maybe it was seen historically versus now. And one of the main things is that we talked about, or we want to talk about, is, you know, I feel like before, previously, when we started out, maybe how many years you had spent at a company carried some weight.
If
you had been there for 5, 6, 7 years, you oozed a kind of seniority or whatever, like some authenticity or like credibility, should I say. That's the right word I'm looking for. Whereas now, I feel like
you're a loser.
You're a loser, or it could have the opposite effect in like a recruiting process. But I still find myself, or I've found myself, when looking back at when I've recruited people, if I see someone skippity skipping and jumpity jumping, like too quick between places, I have...
It's a red flag.
It's a red flag. Or I have, like, maybe subconsciously judged them out from the recruiting process because I was like, this person cannot commit.
They're not loyal.
They don't want to invest their time. And, like, the time it takes to actually, like, make an impact at a workplace to me. But now I'm like, what's the right way? I don't know. What do you think?
Because, and I'm, like, okay, I choose to see it like this. Each situation is kind of unique because there's so many factors affecting it. But I have one question before I proceed. These people celebrating 25 years at your company, are they at least like C-level top management now?
No.
Okay. Then it's not okay to stay 25 years because, and that's getting to the point of like, there are certain global companies out there, like take Google, IKEA, H&M, that there is no way you're going to get to top management or C-level unless you already have that experience, meaning you're already a senior in the field, other than just staying there, making your way up. And then after 20 years, it's like, yeah, you could then become the CEO of H&M, like the current CEO mm-hmm. that's at H&M. She's been there for 25 years. But that, in my opinion, is taking the longest route possible to top management.
But I think in this case, the people, my colleagues, they don't aspire for top management because they're like specialists in their field. Yes. And that's it's incredible. Case. Like, I honestly can say that I have never met as passionate people about what they work with. And that's also like, I'm like, wow.
And that's 25 great.
25 years later, you're still so passionate about what you
but
do.
But they can get so much more elsewhere. And this, again, I think it's about a mindset you have as a person or let's say how aware you are of all these external factors. Like, come on, it's no news to anyone that the fastest way to grow your salary or benefits is by shifting jobs, right? But that doesn't mean you're going to change jobs every year. But I think if you stay in one company for 20 years... like you will lose certain perspectives, certain insights and lessons that you cannot acquire unless you leave that environment, you know? You never learn as much as when you change jobs. Like you have to agree with me on that. You know where, because it's that situation where no matter how good you are in your field, it's a new place, you're like, shit, what is the process here? What's the structure? What people am I meeting? Am I going to get along with them? Like, there's so many question marks that you just kind of have to find yourself in. And that helps you grow as a person. Being constantly in a safe kind of environment, I don't think that's the best to grow. But with that said, I have also myself been in a workplace for like almost a decade. And the only time, and this is just me kind of defending myself, right? Because otherwise it's contradictory. But again, so dependent on the situation. So because I managed to stay for so long because it was, you know, a company that went from a startup to a scale-up. So it was like a new company every year. So many changes, you know, launching in new markets, going public on the stock exchange, like so many things happening, which also meant there was room to get new roles, grow, try new things. But even now in hindsight, 9 years was way too long. I should have maybe left after 5 or 6. Like I think that's a kind of breaking point. Like either you leave or just stay there until you like retire, you know?
Is it that like black or white?
No, though? It's not. But like it's that's kind of my spontaneous thought, because it's also, I think there's a breaking point, and this is individual as well, it could be 3 years, 5, 7, where you just get a bit too comfortable, which just makes your path to exit so much more difficult, you know? Because you then you have that fear that you are so far away from the unknown because you've been somewhere for too long.
I agree with that. I do. And I think I would be black and white as well if I hadn't met people along the way who honestly, truly, like super passionately want to work, and they have the same drive and they have the expertise and like the knowledge and I respect it, but it still could never be me. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like it's so conflicting when I think about it, because I'm like, how could you? And then I'm like, wow, how could you? From a more like, wow, but cool. But I mean, I don't know if it's a generational shift, because I feel like the older generation, God, I sound like I'm 15,
they would never change jobs.
Because it's like a sense of security. Yeah. Like, I think our generation and down, like millennials and like Gen Zs and now the up and coming generations, they're much more risk takers. And like, we believe in like the fallback system more, I think. Like, so what if I don't want to work here? I can find a new job or I can do something
or
else in between.
Or it's not worth it.
Know?
I need to pursue
it's
my dreams.
It's not worth it. I need to pursue my dreams. We take risks. And at the same time, as I feel like that is the type of person I want to be, or like the type of person that my environment is, I'm also thinking, then I was like, Or is it because our generation mm-hmm. is always like looking for the next kick and the next thrive mm-hmm. and we're never settling. Mm-hmm. We're never mm-hmm. allowing ourselves to be in a space mm-hmm. where we can feel like content yeah. and, you know, just like I'm doing a good job and this is what I'm doing yeah. now. And not always like chasing after no. the next like adrenaline rush, mm-hmm. which it and many times is like mm-hmm. coming to a new place, mm-hmm. learning new things. It's mm-hmm. thrilling. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. But like. Mm-hmm. At the same time, if I see someone jumping after 2 years, I don't believe you have reached your full potential at a workplace after two years.
No.
You haven't. There's so much more to explore. Mm. There's so much more you can add to that mm. workplace before you can say, yeah. okay, I'm done.
But like, depending also on the position.
On like, the position, of course.
There's
but like,
a difference. Yeah, yeah.
You
but
know
I get
what I mean?
Your point.
Yeah. But I mean, before I was at this place, I had around 3 years at my workplaces. Mm. And I'm sure I could have given mm. a year or two mm. more. Now it happened mm. as it happened.
But I think you had like a kind of a good average, like enough time to, you know, accomplish certain things mm. and learn and like show results, but not long enough to get like too comfortable.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of my impression of the history you've had career wise. Mm. But like, and for me though, having the other extreme, mm-hmm. I have promised myself to never get complacent mm-hmm. again. Like, if I am to stay like here or not, I have to be really clear on like this is my 1 year goal. If that 1 year goal is not like accomplished, of course, and I'm saying this is 100% dependent on me, no one else is going to serve me that, then it's like, okay, but then I'm not in the right place. Mm-hmm. I can't just keep postponing my goals. But what makes me more like sad for a lot, I think a lot of the applications that I've seen where someone's maybe been somewhere for a really long time, I'm like, where's your hunger? Mm-hmm. Like I struggle with not like trying to not be biased, but I am, where I think, okay, you have been, let's say, project coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. That's your role, kind of entry level, right? And you've been in that role for 6 years. Mm. That is not a role you stay in for 6 years, at least not in the same company, which for me is like, this means that you're not the best project coordinator that ever lived, because if you were, you'd already be promoted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what we've seen. Mm-hmm. That, hey, you step in like right after school, you're a coordinator, and then you just kick ass. And then a year later, if, you know, the project manager position opens up or something that's a step above, of course you're going to get it.
You're considered. Yeah.
yeah. And mm-hmm. you probably don't even need to ask for it because you've already shown that. But if you'd stay like as a coordinator, I'm like, I know I'm looking for a coordinator, but I don't want you because I'm going to need someone that, yeah, does the job, but I want you in 2 years to be hungry for more. I want mm-hmm. you to grow here with me. But if you don't have that ambition, then, you know? Does that make sense? You know what I'm
trying
to get to?
I know, and I feel like the same. I feel this, I've looked the same at both ways.
Yeah.
If I see that you've been somewhere for like a year and a half, mm-hmm. and then you've been somewhere for a year, mm-hmm. and then you've been somewhere for 8 months, I'm mm-hmm. like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I don't feel like you're trustworthy. I don't even want to meet you.
It doesn't feel like a safe.
It doesn't feel like a safe person. It doesn't feel like someone I can trust mm-hmm. or like, you know, mm-hmm. that has any credibility. Mm-hmm. Like, what mm-hmm. can you possibly have gained from that?
And that is
time?
Our generation speaking.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Because we don't do that, and then we judge that instead.
Exactly. But I judge the other way around, mm. like you just said. Mm. If someone's been at, mm. like, you know, a project manager for 8 years, I'm mm. like, oh, my Jesus Christ, how has your brain not, like, scrambled up
exactly.
and died from
you,
this?
You can't.
But then I try to, like, take myself out of it. Yeah. Now, when I've started reflecting, mm. we see, like, a number on a paper. We have no circumstances.
No.
We have
no
motivators. Yeah. We have no like life mm-hmm. life situations or why they stayed in that role or why they didn't
exactly.
or what that role entailed. Maybe mm-hmm. there were many projects or mm-hmm. opportunities of development, just that the role or the title didn't change in those 8 years.
Yeah,
so I feel like moral of the story is I don't think there is a great middle way.
No. And it's about the person.
Exactly.
Like, it's so... this is why also recruiting is so difficult.
Why
I get upset with many recruitment companies and processes. Because, you know, everyone's like, oh, please write your CV. But your CV is about years. Like, the years you worked or studied at a certain place. The title and a very short description of something that's supposed to be, like, the USPs.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no room in your CV for, you know, these personal explanations. Mm. Like, hey, these 3 years, I was actually, you know, battling cancer.
The ESPs.
Yeah. Mm. You know, like, and there is no room for that. And that's why sometimes I really try to take a step back and be like, am I in general, like, impressed by the CV? Is it, like, matching the basics of what I'm looking for? I need to at least call that person mm-hmm. in. Because otherwise I'm just being really biased, and that's not nice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no one should be that, because you might be missing out on a true star. Because, I mean, for heaven's sake, we've had private issues or situations in our lives that have affected things. You know, imagine if you would never be allowed to speak of that and just be judged, you know, on what's seen on the outside, kind of. But with that said, like, not taking private situations into consideration, okay? Because there are so many things we could talk about there, but let's just kind of refrain from that and just look at the professional aspect. One thing that I always, like, kind of struggle with understanding is top positions. Like, let's speak of CEOs mm-hmm. that just stay too long. If there's anyone that probably should leave the position of CEO, or I mean leave a position early, that is a CEO. Mm-hmm. Because what, like, staying, you know, for, let's say, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years.
But I mean, like, a CEO is like a task force. You're there to do something, fulfill a target, and then you need to get the
fuck exactly. out. Exactly. And usually...
cash out and then leave.
No, and usually that, like, time frame is short. And by short, I mean, let's say up to 24 months. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the time you have. Either turn around a financial state, or you need to enter a new market, or it's a merger. It doesn't matter. But staying for, you know, a decade... what are you contributing to? You are, like,
now
the captain
of this ship.
Now you only
mean in the position of the CEO, not if they've been at the company for 10 years.
No, I just
and
mean,
then
like, the position where you, you know, you see, like, this person has been the CEO here for 10 years, 15 years. It's like, dude, where's the chairman there? Why has he not, like, gotten rid of you? Because it doesn't matter, like... and you know who I'm speaking of right now. I'm not going to lie. You're, like, just looking
at me. Let's not beat around the bush.
Yeah, no, but, like, so I have a specific company in mind where it's like, yes. Like, the results are there. The business is thriving, growing, profitable, et cetera, et cetera. But again, back to complacency. If you have the same leadership, and by leadership I mean the CEO, then you must know that after 10 years, despite the positive results, it can be so much better with a new perspective.
Mm-hmm. But nothing has, correct me if I'm wrong, ownership, equity, board hasn't changed in that company either, right?
It has.
Has it?
Has, yes. It has.
The owners?
Yes. There's been a shift in ownership, and there's been a shift in board members, but not chairman.
That's interesting. Then.
I could do a whole episode about this now that, like, I'm, you
that's
know,
deep very
diving
interesting
into
then,
because
I thought
work,
that it would have been the same group for these years.
So chairman of the board has the closest relationship to the CEO. And in this case, it's like, it's been the same for a decade. So this is, like, a very infected relationship, I would say. But now we're not focusing on this specific...
allegedly.
No, but otherwise, that's what the board needs to do, is be like, okay, this was your task. You completed it within 3 years or 2 years, doesn't matter. Thank you so much for your efforts. Now we're seeking a new visionary. We need a new perspective. We're going to be focusing more on this aspect or that aspect of the business. So I'm like, why... and why would you as a CEO stay somewhere for 10 years? That to me is like you're just riding out your time waiting for retirement.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, especially that CEO. He couldn't be. He can't be far away.
No, because what are, like, in top positions, what are you, what is your main drive? Mm. You're not operational. It's not like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to, like, kick this Excel sheet's ass and, like, you know, copy-paste things into this like no one's ever done before. No. You're a visionary. You're strategic.
Yeah,
you're there for change. You're, exactly.
Change management.
And
growth.
That's what gets you going.
Yeah.
But that's also then when you're like, okay, I'm done. 3 years. Hey, let's get on to the next thing. Because that's what you do. How much of a visionary can you be in the same exact room for 10 years?
You can't really.
No.
I mean, or some maybe, but I think very few people have the ability.
It's, and it goes the same both ways. Like, let's say you work as a receptionist, like, in a hotel, right? And you do that for 10 years. Like, what happens to your, like, self-worth then, or your vision of your self-worth, or your skills? Do you just, like, you just learn to perfect those tasks at hand? But do you learn anything else?
But
do
again, that's what I'm really saying. We don't know anybody else's motivators. Maybe there are no. Because you depart from about. Yourself and your motivators.
Yeah.
Growth and change and learning new things.
Progress.
Maybe someone else's motivators is that they can't leave at 3 p.m. every day. Mm-hmm. Clock
out.
Do
you remember we talked about this, yeah. about a few people that used to work with us where we were like all the same age.
Yeah.
And we were, what, 24 at the time,
something
maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
And we were like, this person will die doing this.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Again.
We're so different. And I mean, some people just want to kick ass in the job they have and don't move right, left, down, up, nowhere. And I guess that's okay. I mean, we need all the roles to be filled.
Of course we do. Of course we do. But it's just like, I don't know. For me, the biggest difficulty there, back to, again, looking at a CV and how many years you've been somewhere and what position, it really is to, like, not compare myself to that profile.
Yeah.
Because I'm not hiring myself. I'm looking at, let's say, if it is a coordinator, that person doesn't necessarily have to have certain ambitions if I'm really just looking for a good coordinator. Right?
Mm. Exactly.
But I don't know. Like, I get a little
upset. It also takes skill to be happy in an ad hoc role, I believe.
Oh, for sure. I think there must be something else then, like outside of work, that's so fulfilling, which is great.
Exactly.
Like,
that's
that
what I'm
is
saying,
amazing.
But it's like, I'm impressed by ad hoc roles who just like kick ass and that, and they're happy with it.
But I also hope, like, in that sense, you know, if I bring in someone for an interview and they're like, no, like, my mission in life is to be a coordinator and I'm really happy with that. I am eager to check out like at 4:30 and, you know, just leave my work in the office or whatever. But then they say, because I'm into horseback riding and, you know, I have two horses.
Pottery.
And, no, but whatever. Then I'm like, but that I admire because, yeah, well, you don't have to think this is the dream, like this specific job, but it just shows that you have other interests.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about. Interest and ambition doesn't have to be in your work role, but just like overall.
Exactly. But you would never know that if you dismiss the CV based off of the years on a paper.
Yes.
So there really is no middle way. I feel like I got more questions than answers this episode.
Because
this opened up like Pandora's box of thinking about the recruitment process and how to place myself in that position and what are my motivators and drivers.
Yeah, but also imagine now if you had to put together a CV to actively like look for a new job, you know? Because we've both like been headhunted.
Yeah.
And then it's more like just of a courtesy thing. Hey, could you just, you know, give me your CV so I have something on paper. But it's like, you don't really have to think so much about what you're writing, how you'll be perceived,
not
how many years here or there. So we haven't gone through that process in the same way.
No.
But I don't even know what I would write. I would have such difficulty now writing something and not like really explaining it or my personal life.
Yeah.
I'd have to be like, because I had a kid, it sparked something in me, so I did this, you know?
I know.
And then write, hey, and then I have a podcast because I think that's really important for you to know. Just because, hey, that's something about me, you know?
I'm trying to gain a listener here. No, I know. It is really difficult. But it's some food for thought.
It is. And like, just, I mean, going back to the whole generation thing, I just have to, because I just remembered something like my grandpa said, like, I heard him say this so many times, like, my mom and my aunt and, like, well, even me and my sister. If someone in the family would be like, yeah, I had a job interview, he'd be like, oh, you got fired from your current job. I was like, no, like, I just got headhunted and called in for this. And he's like, but is your company going bankrupt?
Mm.
No. It's like, but why would you change jobs?
Mm. See?
It's like, because I want to be challenged, or, hey, I need more money, or, oh, it's not going anywhere here. But he couldn't grasp his head around it because where he's from, like, his mindset is you get a job, you
put
are
your
grateful.
Head down. Yeah.
Exactly. Put your head down and you stay there until the day you die. Like, that's it, you know? How dare you ask for more money? How dare you expect more?
You should,
like,
pay them.
Yeah, but for him, like, if we say, hey, we have a fruit basket, and he's like, oh, it's for free. It's like, yeah, I grab a banana every morning. He's like, my God, you're living the dream. I was like, really, Grandpa? Like, really?
But I also think that's a syndrome of being immigrants.
Yeah. But
I mean,
I think he was like that even, like, way before, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, and I would say that maybe, like, My parents aren't exactly the same, but I think they've just kind of learned in the last years.
Yeah, same.
But my dad would have those tendencies. Yeah, like, same. Oh, but you know, this is a sure thing. You know, you're taking a risk. And it's always this whole thing about risk taking, you know. Oh, are you going to be like on a trial period for 6 months? Mm. Are you sure? And then I'm like, you think I'm that much of a loser that I can't prove myself in 6 months? Yeah. Like, I turn it around. Thanks, you know, Dad. You're like breaking me down. Like, I've been doing this job for 9 years and now you think I can't do it for 6 months? It's like, great pep talk. Thanks. So I just, like, I don't, sometimes I don't even tell them these things until it's like a done deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Sign the papers.
Here I think, go. Like, my aunt didn't tell my grandfather that she had a new job until she passed the trial period.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm. Just because, why bother, you know? But I think this new generation, well, since we've talked a lot about the new generation, let's offend them some more. But they're, I think for sure we're going to be seeing, like, this trend of, hey, maximum a year in one place. And this is just going to be driven by, like, the want for more. And I think primarily, like, a financial compensation.
Yes.
Because those expectations are already a bit unrealistic.
So here we go on a wild ride. Let's just adjust, because now we're becoming this older generation that doesn't understand the youngins.
But we promise to try.
We do our best.
Yes.
We can only get better and develop.
Yeah, in general. Like, come on. I mean, I'm so much better in 2023 than I was in 2022.
Of course.
So, hey, what if would I be can the point do it, you can all do it.
And that was today's pep talk from Nera.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.